Welcome to January 2011's Maverick Mindstorm call. We're kicking off the year with Maverick's John Carter and Hubert Centers. They are partners in TradeTheMarkets.com. They have very rich and in-depth backgrounds in terms of trading. They met in 2000 and found that they had a really similar style and philosophy in terms of their approach to day trading, teamed up, and launched TradeTheMarkets.com. TradeTheMarkets.com is a fantastic resource, as seen on CNBC, Fox Business News, ABC News, a lot of really high-profile exposure and press surrounding what they're doing because it's unique to the world and extremely valuable as a service on a daily basis for people who are focused on day trading. So John and Hubert, thank you very much for being with us today. We really appreciate it. We're excited to hear from you in terms of an outlook on the markets for 2011, some of the patterns that you saw in 2010, which may or may not carry over, and then an overview of how you engage your members and the internet marketing side of things in terms of keeping your business growing and delivering value on a daily basis to your loyal followers. So, guys, thanks again.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot for having us. This should be a lot of interesting stuff, and just kind of dive right in. And
is John. We're going to go ahead and have John do the first half of the call and Hubert do the second half, and we'll keep things open for discussion, but lots of great content to dig into, so let's go ahead and jump right in.
Sounds good. Okay, so yeah, Hubert and I, we've been running this business, gosh, it's been approaching 9 years now, and, you know, we both started off as traders, and, you know, we both make our living and make a portion of our income each year from the markets, and whether it's trading futures contracts or options or different things like that, and a lot of it's, you know, kind of shorter-term stuff, buy something on Tuesday, sell it on Friday kind of a thing, but we also do a lot of bigger term analysis and research, and we've used just through what we've learned and just through internet marketing, just been able to reach a lot of people through that, and which has been a lot of fun too, whether it's institutions or individuals and things like that as well. So what I want to talk about today is, and because I think this is helpful, is just some of the bigger term things that we see coming down the pipeline. This is something where if you're wondering what to do with money today, then what kind of impact it's going to have a couple of years from today, some things like that. A quick recap of kind of where we are right now. I mean, the markets, obviously, after 2008 and early 2009, everything was, you know, the world was coming to an end. The markets recovered, and we've had a substantial rally. The S&Ps have doubled since then. In fact, they just touched on 1,300 on Thursday before the news in Egypt came out, and the markets got spanked on Friday. And so the question really now is, in the short term, is are the markets going to be able to continue moving higher, or have we reached a point where it's time for them to roll over? Well, bigger picture, which is what I want to talk about, there's some forces at work that we have to all be aware of, or, you know, we're going to be like ostriches with our heads stuck in the sand. But shorter term, the main thing that's going on here is that the government is stimulating the hell out of this economy. And as long as they are stimulating the economy, it's going to be very, very difficult for the stock market to go down. Okay, so just kind of remember that. You know, if anyone's, you know, kind of too bearish on stocks or anything like that, remember that they're fighting the federal government. And they do have fairly deep pockets. But the question is it, you know, is this something that they can do forever? So let's step back here and take a look at that. And I think it's important to realize what the biggest trend on the planet is right now. And the biggest trend isn't, you know, oil prices or, you know, the price of gold or anything like that. The biggest trend and the biggest thing that's going to have an impact on the world over the next decade is debt, okay? And that is the biggest trend by far, is the amount of debt that's been created, okay? The key to making money over the next several years is understanding who is burdened by it, versus who isn't, okay, and what impact that has. So if you guys don't already know, I mean, the U.S. has trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. If it's spread out right now, each citizen in the U.S., every man, woman, and child would be on the hook for $176,000, all right? and this is only going to continue to grow. There's a lot of rhetoric right now in Washington about cutting the budget and yada, yada, yada. They're not going to touch the things that actually cause the most debt, okay? What caused the most debt, Medicare, Social Security, you know, a lot of these entitlement programs, nobody's going to touch those because if they do, they won't be reelected. So debt is going to continue to grow. Interest payment on debt right now is $375 billion a year, and that's going to grow. So the bottom line of this, and this is something that's important for everyone to understand when they're doing their financial planning, is that this debt is never going to be repaid, okay? This is not something that is ever, ever going to go away, and the government has no plans of repaying this debt, all right? So that's important to realize. You know, if you're somebody making $100,000 a year and you can go out and borrow $1 million on your credit cards and know that you never have to repay it, you know, all you have to do is just pay interest and that's it. And those interest payments that you can get from just taxing people, that's a pretty good gig. And that's the kind of gig that the U.S. government has right now, right? So the key then is understanding, you know, what are the longer-term implications of that, because there are longer-term implications of that. Now, the first is it's not just a problem in the U.S. It's happening in all over the world in all the major developed nations, okay? Europe, obviously, is a good example of this. Now, on the other side of the coin, we also have the BRIC economies, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which are growing fast, and they're not debt-ridden, okay? So what's going to happen is you're going to have this dichotomy over the next, this is probably for everybody on this call, for our lifetimes, where these emerging economies slowly but surely get stronger and stronger, whereas the debt-ridden economies like the U.S. and Europe continue to fall more and more under pressure. All right, so this is kind of the new normal. Now, the thing about the stock market rally right now is that part of the main reason that they're rallying is because of all the stimulus going on. Okay, now remember, the trend of debt is out of control. All right, it's never going to be repaid, and that's going to drive everything over the long term. So, what are the implications of this? In the long term, the debt is going to keep downward pressure on the U.S. dollar as more and more U.S. dollars are created, and upward pressure on tangible assets like gold, okay? In terms of investing, you know, the emerging growth countries, they're the ones who are becoming wealthy. They're the ones who are going to be leading the world economy, and they're slowly over the next decade going to become more powerful as the balance and the economic power shifts slowly from west to east, all right? This trend is going to keep upward pressure on resources and commodities for many years to come, all right? There's going to be a population increase of 30% over the next decade. This is going to keep upward pressure on foods. So if you're trying to figure out where to invest your money, okay, a lot of us on these Maverick calls, you know, we've got decent cash flows from our businesses, and the question is, you know, do you put it in a mutual fund that invests in stocks, or are you going to put it in a mutual fund that is more focused on raw materials like food and building materials? I say you do focus on food and building materials because that is where the growth is going to come from over the next several years. The other thing to remember too is that in the long term, markets actually do not react to news. Okay, they lead. For anybody that's been watching gold, gold bottomed out in 2000 and started a rally. And for a long time, even when gold went up from like $280 an ounce to like $600 an ounce, you know, nobody in the news could figure out why. You know, it was 2006, 2007. There was, you know, there's no inflation. You know, what's going on here? This is some kind of weird anomaly. Well, the gold market knew. The people that were in the know knew what was going to happen, that a ton of dollars were going to have to be printed, and they were loading up on gold then. Okay, and of course, what's happened since then? There was the economic meltdown, the financial crisis. We've had to print trillions of dollars in new currency, and gold has become more valuable, okay? Markets always lead. The stuff that you hear on the financial press, they have no clue what's going on. They can only tell you what's happened. So you got to keep an eye out on how these markets are moving because, you know, they actually know what's kind of going on. The biggest thing that's going on right now is, in terms of a market leading, are interest rates, all right? Recently, even as recently as the last FOMC meeting, the Fed came out and said that they're going to continue to supply stimulus to the economy by buying bonds, okay? What happens is when they buy bonds, it drives long-term rates lower, okay? Because when bond prices go up, it drives interest rates lower, and that's going to keep lending aggressive, that's going to keep support real estate and all that kind of stuff. So what's happening is the U.S. is financing its own debt by selling treasury bonds, and the Fed is becoming one of the biggest buyers of U.S. debt. All right? That's kind of weird, right? It's like, you know, it's like your spouse becoming the biggest buyer of your debt. I mean, you're both still in it together, right? So whereas before, well, what happens with this is now the Fed is buying these bonds with money it magically creates with the push of a button. This is called monetizing debt. All right, so if you ever hear the term monetization of debt and everything like that, it's not a good thing, and that's exactly what it is. It's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. Now, monetizing debt has two major repercussions for the U.S. over the long haul. These are inescapable. A weaker U.S. dollar and higher inflation. All right, now, over the next 6 months, is that something that we're going to see? No, this is something that can take, you know, a couple of years to really get into a system. But if you don't know about it, you're not going to be prepared, okay? If you go into an inflationary environment and you're in mostly cash, you're going to get destroyed, all right? In an inflationary environment, cash is trash. You want to own tangible assets. You want to own gold. You want to own silver, you know, different things like that that benefit from real estate. You know, if you've got a lot of things that are based in cash, you can be toast. So that's a key thing to understand. Now, what's happened now and what's fascinating is that the government has come out over the last several months and said they're going to make all these bond purchases, right? In a normal environment, and this is what happened in 2008 and 2009, in a normal environment, the bond market would go higher, okay? It's like, wow, the government's going to buy all these bonds, bonds go higher. What's happened this year is that the government has stepped up its purchasing of bonds and bonds have collapsed. The 30-year bond has dropped like from 136 down to 126. That's a big spike down, and that's driving longer-term rates up. All right, so what does this mean? Remember what I was saying before is that the market always knows, okay? When gold was moving up in 2000, it knew what was coming down. It knew what was coming down the pipeline. Well, bonds also know what's coming down the pipeline, and that's inflation. When bonds start selling off like that, it means that inflation is actually very close around the corner, closer than we'd like to admit. Also, what's happening, too, is China is no longer buying our bonds aggressively. They decided, you know what, this is ridiculous. Why do we want to buy this country's debt? And for the first time ever, their purchases of tangible assets in 2010 actually were equal to, and in some cases outweighed, the amount of purchases they made in U.S. Treasury bonds, and that's a trend that continues. All right, so a lot of the reasons why the U.S. is able to keep interest rates low is because China kept buying our bonds. All right, that period is ending. So long story short, the government is saying they're going to buy bonds. The bond market is selling off anyway, and that's telling us that inflation is going to come along faster than a lot of people ever thought. You're not going to hear about this in the financial news because they don't understand that. When they see that the CPI jumps up to 5%, then they're going to say, oh, okay, now we see what's going on. So the question is then, you know, what to do now? In the shorter term, and by shorter term, I mean over the next 6 months, so let's talk into June 2011, I don't see a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. I don't see, you know, inflation being a major factor or anything like that. So there's no like hurry to run out and, you know, buy a place in Montana or anything like that. And I actually don't think, you know, anything's going to get that overdone. It's just you just want to be prepared for it. But longer term right now, you know, is gold and silver a good buy right now? And the answer to that is it's, in this type of environment, it's always good to start buying some gold and silver, but they are extended right now. I'd be looking at silver back at the $20 level, and I'd be looking at gold at the $1,100 level. Those would be good areas to get into. And remember, both you and I were telling people when gold was at $600 to buy it, and at that point, all we heard was, gosh, it's so far above, you know, I could have bought it at $500. It's so far away from that point now, doesn't make sense to buy it now. Gold's going to continue going higher, slowly but surely. No market goes straight up or straight down, and at this point, looking for weakness for the next several months in metals, and I would use that as a buying opportunity, okay? And then the other thing to look at is that if you are going to put money in the stock market, there's not much point in putting it in the U.S. stock market at this point. It would be better to put it in emerging markets. There are ETFs like the iShares Malaysia that are really, really good. The symbol for that is EWM. That's E as in Edward, W as in Walrus, M as in Mary. And that focuses on a very, very strong emerging market, okay, as opposed to having exposure in the U.S. There's also the Templeton Emerging Markets Fund, which is EMF. That's E as in Edward, M as in Mary, F as in Frank. And that's another area of the world that's going to do very good in this type of environment. And finally, there's an iShares BRIC ETF. And remember, BRIC stands for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And that symbol is BKF. B as in boy, K as in kite, F as in Frank. Okay, and those are three areas in terms of stocks that I feel really comfortable having exposure to. In fact, that's stuff that you just buy and tuck away because of the way the world is setting up right now. Okay, and all right, so I went through a lot of information there very, very quickly, and so just a couple of other notes here. The thing to remember on stuff like this is that, and you know, we always get questions about fundamental trading versus kind of technical analysis, is that when fundamentals are there, the events that you see fundamentally are going to happen. Okay, there's no way to stop it. It's just the market forces are too big. However, it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. And a lot of times we'll see something where fundamentally we see something coming down the pipeline, but it may take years to unfold. Okay, so just remember that everything I just told you fundamentally is true, fundamentally is going to roll out, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. So, and in fact, this is something I would look for, you know, to unfold over the next several years into the next decade. And so just kind of remember that. You know, it's when we get into these type of situations, a lot of mavericks that, you know, if you have a substantial net worth or cash flow, those are important things. You know, are you going to put your money in the S&P 500? Okay, or are you going to put it into emerging markets? You know, are you going to keep your money in U.S. dollars, earning 1% interest, or are you going to transfer some of that into gold and silver and be better positioned for the future? And those are some kind of the things like that that I just kind of want to emphasize. So that's really what I was talking about there. For the rest of 2011, the stock market is at a very interesting point right now. At this point, I'm actually expecting the 1,300 level on the S&Ps and the 12,000 level on the Dow to hold for several months. You know, I think we saw some highs last week, and we may be able to gather up steam again a little bit later in the year, but definitely looking for weakness for the next several months for those of you that are kind of timing things on a shorter term basis. It doesn't really even have anything to do with Egypt or anything like that. It's just kind of the technical cycles and things like that. The U.S. dollar, even though longer term, looking for weakness in the U.S. dollar, it's actually due for a technical bounce as well. So that would mean weakness on the euro for those of you that trade currencies. So just remember that, you know, if you take a longer term position, weak the dollar, that there are going to be several months at a time where the dollar is going to show some strength, and that's just kind of the way things move. All right. So that's kind of the bigger overview and what we're looking at. And, again, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we'll talk about on our website, but we also then drill it down to, you know, opportunities, trading opportunities. Like, you know, last week was, hey, we're going to short the market when we get up to 1,300 on the S&Ps, and boom, you know, we got our 30 points and we're out. So we kind of try to balance the shorter-term stuff versus with this longer-term outlook and throw it in with some of the internet marketing and all the great people that we've met in that space, and it's been a lot of fun. So that's what I got, and I will wrap it up and turn it over to Hubert.
That's fantastic. Thanks, John. Quick question in terms of the long-term strategy versus the sort of immediate opportunities and the news cycle. How much do you see these shorter-term opportunities being related to the news cycle versus the longer-term opportunities being you know, market-led?
The shorter-term stuff, you'll see a lot of times, you know, the markets will react to shorter-term news. For example, the thing with Egypt is a good case in point. You know, oil had been kind of trending higher. It pulled back. The crisis in Egypt came out, and it popped higher. And that, a lot of that's going to be news-driven. And it's so I look at it as, if I understood your question correctly, that news-driven events typically are a couple-day phenomena. And then the larger trend kind of unfolds. And then, you know, the larger trends, what happens is that the financial press, you know, is so focused on the day-to-day stuff that they completely miss out on, you know, some of the bigger-term trends until the consequences are upon us.
Okay. And then where do you recommend and where do you personally strike a balance between sort of the short-term opportunities on a day-trading basis and the long-term side of things?
Yeah, I do. For trading wise, probably about 35% is in the shorter term stuff, and then the rest in kind of the longer term exposure. And the reason for that is that, you know, the longer term exposure stuff is stuff you really don't have to think about. You know, you just have, you're positioned. And the shorter term stuff is really like, okay, you know, you've got to focus, and it, that way it's just kind of a way to diversify. Now, when I first started trading, it was 100% shorter term stuff. And then as you kind of, you know, there's a big difference between having, say, you know, a $20,000 account and you're trying to build it up versus, you know, growing something into, you know, seven figures or something like that, and then having into and doing it that way. So it's kind of relative to based on, you know, where you are. If you've accumulated a nice chunk, you don't want to just take all of that into one venture and short-term trade it. You want to kind of splice it out.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks a million. And if there are further questions, the chat is live, and don't hesitate to jump in. But let's go ahead and move over to Hubert and get a kind of a similar take and a bit of history and some valuable information from Hubert.
Okay, thanks, guys. All right, so what I'm going to do is a little bit different. I'm going to kind of give you specific trade setups going into the year of 2011. I'm not really going to discuss a lot of what happened in 2010. We can't really do anything about that. That's kind of already gone by. So at this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out, and you won't be able to see what I'm doing, but I'll actually walk you through some actual swing trades that we're going to put on position-wise for right now. And as we're doing this recording, you know, it's at the end of January. So in order to short the index futures from a larger-term economic situation, we are looking to short the indexes, okay? So short the indexes would be short the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell. So I'll use the Dow just because I trade the Dow a lot. So what we're doing is we're shorting these levels now from 11,973 all the way down to, 11,700, all right? The stop for that is going to be slightly above the most recent high. So your stop will be 11,973 or above. And then the target for the actual trade is going to be in the 11,400 area to 11,200 area. All right? So let's go over the entries and the exits and the targets. And these are ultimately short-term because we think it's going to go higher. But these are shorter-term plays that you can play anywhere from the next 3 days to the next 3 months, okay? So it's short index futures in this area. Target on the Dow would be 11,400 to 11,200, and the stop is going to be just north of, say, 12,000 on the Dow, all right? So that's for the Dow, and you can do the same exact analysis for the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell. So in bonds, we have an interesting situation right now with the government buying up all the debt and stuff. It should be rallying like crazy, but it is not. So we're looking to also short these levels with a pop. So in other words, we want to actually bracket a trade on the 30-year bond, and anything north of either, let me grab the mouse here, of 118 and 24 30 seconds would be a short breakdown on the 30-year bond. Or if you want to short a pop-up, anything north of 129 and 930 seconds. So the target for that, as I throw up some analysis here on the chart as I'm doing this, for the target is to be a little bit more shorter term, would be a target of 116 even. All right. Let's move on to crude oil. Crude oil just initiated a long yesterday. All right. So you should be long crude oil now. All right. And crude's trading right now as I'm talking on the telephone with you guys. It's trading right now at 92.19. All right. So it's a long crude trade. And your target is going to be north of $100. Take some off the table as soon as you get really close to 100. It's going to be a psychological level for a lot of different people that think they know how to trade but don't actually know how to trade. So what will happen is it will get to 100, and then it will roll back over. So you want to be out of the trade prior to it hitting 100 even. Okay. Stop for this, you can just use today's low, which was 88.40. All right. So it's going to be a long crude. A stop of 88.40 and a target of pretty close to 100, so 99 or slightly above 99, but don't hold on to it as we go through 100 just because it'll roll back over. One of the longer-term trades that I like is the natural gas market, and this would be a longer-term investment for the next year to 3 years. natural gas long here in the area of $4.42 with a stop at $3.83, and the target is going to be north of $6. The most interesting market and the most money that I've made the past year or so has been in the gold market. Now, I play gold both ways. In other words, long, short, long, it doesn't really matter to me. Here's a good overall strategy if you want to trade gold on a shorter-term time frame and be able to kind of pull some money out of it without actually having to know too much about trading gold. So a couple of filters that you can use is if gold is up more than $3 on the day, you want to be long gold. If gold is down more than $3 on the gold, on the day, you want to be short gold. Now, for intraday, what you want to use is a three-point stop loss, which is 30 ticks. So I'm going to keep everything super simple. I know everybody in the call has a very large net worth, but I'm going to make it super simple, and you can add your own zeros to it. So the way gold trades is every time the thing moves one tick, it's $10, okay? 1 point move in gold is worth $100 times the number of contracts you trade. So if you trade one contract and it moves 1 point, it's $100. If you're trading 100, it'll be 100 times 100, and you can do the math. It's pretty simple. So for an intraday trade or a minor swing trade, so let's be super clear on what an intraday trade is. An intraday trade is you're putting it on in the morning, and you're short, I mean, you're flat before the end of the session. So in other words, it's just a day trade. You're in it for, you know, less than 24 hours. You're in it, you're out it, and you're flat. Now, for a minor swing trade, which we do both of, it could be anywhere from 1 to 3 days, and you get a little bit longer term. You could be in it from 3 days to a couple of weeks. So here's the rule for intraday. If gold's up more than three, you want to be long gold with a three-point stop and about a 20-point target, okay? If you're doing it overnight, what you want to do is if you're going to hold it for more than 24 hours, you're going to risk 6 points to make either 20, 40, 60, or an open target. So what's been working out really good for me lately is a 6-point stop loss on gold and an open target. All right, and right now I'm currently short gold and looking for it to drop below the 1250 area on gold so that I can add it back to a core long position. You can also, if you have, and I know a lot of us on the call have gold in our core long, we also have the bars, we have the coins, we have all that stuff going on. You can still hedge yourself if you have gold or silver in its physical realm, like the coins. You can still hedge yourself in futures. All right. So think of it like this. You own a company. Let's say everybody in here owns the company GE, or we work for GE. It's crazy. I mean, it is borderline craziness to actually be long more GE. We already own GE. We're tightly related to its profit margin, and we get our paychecks from GE, okay? It would be nutso to add more exposure to GE. So what you would do is you need to short something. In other words, hedge yourself when your company stock goes down. So how do you do that? Well, you figure out what your raw goods are, and then you just play the opposite side of that, and you end up washing out the losses and locking in the gains for that. So let's go through a quick example. So if you're long gold from north of 600, you're setting fine because gold's trading at 1334, but now gold's starting to roll over because it had a high of about 1450, right? 1440, and now it's starting to roll over. So now you're starting to give a little bit of your gains back. So what do you do? Well, you don't sell your gold just because gold's rolling over. You still hold on to it because it's probably going to go north of 1500. But what you do is you short a few contracts depending on how much of your net worth you have in gold, and you ride the gold down in the futures contract or in the ETF or in a gold stock. And then once it stops going down, then you cover your short position. So you've protected your long position, and you've also profited from the rollover situation in the gold market. So it's a real good way to protect yourself and actually still stay in the core position without jumping in and out of a lot of stuff. So our current allocation, or I should say my current allocation, is I do 50% swing trades. I do about 30% day trades, and then I have about 20% of my net worth in automated day trading and swing trading systems where they're just black box, they're algorithms where they just trade for me. All right, so let's go through some other specific trade setups that we can do based upon what John was talking about with the macroeconomics. You can be long wheat, You could be long corn. You can be long soy, and crude oil. You can do all that stuff in the currency futures. You can use ETFs, or you can do proxies with stocks that track those. If you don't want to get in the futures on the wheat, soybeans, and corn, you can do Monsanto and stuff like that, and that works out really good. You can also do fertilizing companies if you don't want any exposure to the futures market. Now, there's a couple of risky things with futures, like you can actually lose more money in the futures market than you actually have in your account. In other words, it can go debit, so you could start out with, you know, $1 million in a futures account, and then at the end of the day, if you make some really bad decisions, you can be on the hook for owing somebody $3 or $4 million. So, if you don't want to go that route, you can stay simple: stocks, ETFs, stuff like that. You still have the risk exposure of margin accounts and stuff like that. So, don't get too over leveraged. Usually, when you start getting over leveraged, it just means that you're getting a little bit too greedy, and it usually ends up being in a very bad situation. So that is the basics for what I'm recommending that you do for 2011. There's some other, you know, common mistakes that all of us traders make. You know, most of them stem from some self-esteem issues or lack of a plan or not following the plan and not actually staying in the trade as long as we need to. So that is my recommendation for 2011, and I will wrap it up here and take any questions if we do have any questions.
Hey, Hubert, I have one question. This is Jake. Can you tell us a little bit about the indicators that you use on a daily basis and then the indicators that you look at for some of the longer-term positions?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to, Jake. So what we do, we have a couple of different proprietary indicators that we use with several different trading platforms, TradeStation, eSignal, and every other popular trading platform out there. Usually what we do is we end up developing stuff in-house that we actually use ourselves on a daily basis, and then it just makes our life easier. So we can scan through, you know, 400 different stocks, and we can figure out which ones are expanding, which ones are contracting, and then which ones are about to explode and move to the high side or the low side. So, I mean, one of the favorite ones that that myself and John both use is called the Trade the Market Squeeze, which what it does is it goes through a period of, you always see this, and you'll see it with your P&L on all the businesses that you guys own, too. So think about a stock that's going, it's expanding. Think about Google and Apple as it's just cruising higher. Well, Google or Apple will start trading sideways, and their volatility will get crunched down, okay? So what we do is we have some special little indicators that we it's just a math is all it is, that calculates it for us and tells us, okay, the volatility is so low, so the next breakout is about to occur. So then what we do is we have a system that scans it for us, and then it tells us, all right, these are the top 10 that we would look for today to trade. And then it'll give us the direction, and then we'll throw the trade on based upon if it tells us to go long or short, based upon our entry and exit criteria, and then we'll jump on stuff like that. A couple of other indicators that we use are trend identification tools that'll just keep us in the market longer. It never gets the first 25% of the move and never gets the last 25% of the move, but it's really good for that 50% in the meat in the middle, which is what we're really interested in getting. Another couple of plays that you can do this year, if they happen IPO, that obviously if you like any of the Google, and hopefully everybody on this call has got Google long. If you don't, it's kind of a little bit too late to add to it. But you're looking at, you know, LinkedIn, a possibility on an IPO. That one will probably go crazy when it does IPO. You've got the Facebook IPO that's probably going to happen either in 2011. It's probably going to actually happen in 2012. So start looking for stuff like that. I mean, you could add even to your children or your grandchildren's accounts. Those tend to do fairly well lately, and if you can get on an IPO, I recommend those too.
That's great. So for the last portion of the call, I'd like you guys to help us understand the kinds of resources and content that you make available, both, you know, products, subscriptions, resources, et cetera, through Trade the Markets.
Okay. We've been in business for about 8 or 9 years now. We originally started out as just doing our thing, and then the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, we were actually at a desk in New York doing some work with a hedge fund there called Pally Capital. And the CME, back in that time, they were called the Chicago Board of Trade, came up to us, and they were asking us what we were trading. And John was trading the Dow at the time, and then they're like, hey, looks like you guys are trading our products. Do you guys mind kind of traveling around and doing these little traders' expos and teaching people what you do? And we're like, we're kind of busy. And then they kept asking us two or three times, and then we're like, all right, we'll give it a shot. So we didn't know that you weren't supposed to not trade live in front of people. So the first couple that we did, we live traded in front of people, and we kind of got mobbed by the crowd asking us so many questions. And we kind of figured out after the fact that everybody else was using PowerPoint and going, oh, I would have got long here, and I would have got out here, and I would have shorted this and covered it here. And we're like, no, you wouldn't. You'd done the exact opposite. So we ended up live trading in front of a couple of groups of 400 or 500, and we got mobbed every time. Well, we're not the smartest guys in the world. After the third time, we're like, holy shit, this is a business. These people have no idea what they're doing. We should actually just teach them how we make money trading. So from there, we started out doing trading.
That way you're not conveniently using 20/20 hindsight with a PowerPoint, right?
Exactly. Which is kind of weird because we actually get more people that will comment us when we take an ass-kicking or we get our teeth kicked in and we actually show everybody and go, oh, yeah, here, I lost 20 grand. Oh, here, I lost, you know, 40,000 or 80,000. Or, oh, today I lost 3,000. It's kind of weird, but people actually like the real stuff as opposed to all the phony baloney 20/20 hindsight that everybody else kind of teaches out there. So it's really refreshing. So from there, we started doing nightly videos of what we were doing. And at that time, we didn't know that videos were going to be hot. I really have a bad disdain for typing. So I was like, I'm not doing a typed out newsletter. I just can't do it. It's not something that I can pull off. I'm dyslexic. I can't spell, and typing's an issue for me. So I originally started doing the videos, and at that time, Carter was doing a type newsletter, so I talked him into doing a video newsletter, and then from there, our business started taking off. So our whole business model is driven around driving you to TradeTheMarkets.com, getting you to opt into that free video, and then we send you two free videos every night, one from me and one from John, that is better than 99% of the paid stuff out there. And then just over time, you know, over a 3 or 4 month period of time, then we've got it down to where most people that are on our database will buy something from us in the range from $450 to $750 after they've, you know, got to know us for 2 or 3 months, all the way up to 3 or 4 months.
Now, the format that you guys are using for video is basically a screen share of your analysis tools and your accounts themselves with sort of narration as you're clicking through and taking positions and things like that, right?
Yeah, we don't really do any face-to-face video. It's more or less day traders and people that just trade for a living, they really don't want to see our ugly faces. They just want to see our pointers moving on the charts and going, oh, okay, uh-huh. Yeah, and seeing the price action moving. It's almost like AA. If you ever see a group of traders in a room, they'll all just be mesmerized by the price action moving around. It's a really geeky thing to do, but the people that are into it like us, it kind of just, it's how we do it. And then we have subscription newsletters where we send out the videos to members only. We have indicators, DVDs, CDs. We do online trading workshops via webinars where they watch us trade during the day. We've got day trading chat rooms where people, we've got Rob Hoffman that he just came onto our team. He hasn't had a losing day. He hasn't had a losing day or a losing trade in a year, so he's doing really, really good. So we've marketed that lately, and a lot of people are actually going in our day trading chat room and watching what he's doing and kind of following what he's doing. And then the last thing we offer is seminars and then the opportunity to have people come and just sit down next to us for 4 days, and we kind of just teach them everything we know as far as a mentorship package. So we've got a very
diverse
product.
Which you guys just came off of last week in Austin, right?
Yeah, we just had another one last week, and they're usually a small group, 4 to 8 people there, and we charge $7,500 for people to spend, you know, 4 days next to us and kind of just do a brain dump, learn by immersion, where people just, we have a business plan and a trading plan by the time they get out of there. And usually, I will say one thing, we've either been lucky or good or a combination of the two. Every time we do a trade thing live where we charge people to do trade along with a webinar or a live event or the mentorship, I think we've only lost money 2 or 3 times out of as many times that we've done it. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a combination of luck or skill, but I'll take it.
Yeah, no question. Just keep people there live, and things will continue to bump up, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. John, do you have anything to add there in terms of what you guys are doing online and, you know, anything from, I know that this is a pretty crowded space out there and that you guys focus on a few different areas in terms of markets. Any tips that you would give from the search engine optimization or driving traffic? And then I guess part of the key or a huge part is, you know, retention of your customers long term.
Dick, I don't know if he's still on the call or not.
Oh, maybe John dropped. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can go over it really quick. I mean, we've been working with Susan Hill a lot for doing a lot of our SEO optimization and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. been up in our game a little bit on the landing page and stuff like that. What's really, really important for us at this point is actually getting to know all of our customers. Now, when you have anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 members on a day, on a monthly basis, it's kind of hard to know all of them, but we start to institute where, you know, we call all the new members and try to learn their names and stuff like that. That's been really helping with member retention, and then also what's been helping us a lot is one free monthly trading webinar for all the members where they can watch us trade and ask Q&As and stuff like that, and really just more or less actually giving a shit about people and making sure, you know, we're actually helping them as opposed to just selling them stuff all the time. I'm not going to say that we don't sell anything. I mean, we obviously are in the business of making money on the education side too, but it's more of getting more based upon like really caring about the client and the customer and stuff like that and calling them and talking to them and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it sounds like a big competitive advantage in terms of really creating trust-based relationships instead of just being a brand out there and a commodity like so many other brands are in the financial world.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of calls lately, and the first thing they say is, I can't believe you guys called it, because they're so used to hearing our voice every night on the videos and watching our mouths, and they're like, I didn't think you guys had time to call people. So it's really been helping a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of star power there, you know, while I'm hearing from the coaches themselves. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, Hubert, thanks a million for your time. Great call today. Tons of extremely valuable insight. And for everybody on the line live, this call is recorded and is going to be in the member archive here by end of day tomorrow. And if there are you know, any questions, certainly feel free to shoot me an email directly, jake@maverickbusinessadventures.com, and I'll facilitate answers from John and Hubert. And review that call because, you know, really dense in terms of information, really high in terms of the quality of the information, and, you know, hit play, take some notes, hit pause, and use that as a resource ongoing. So, Hubert, thanks again. John, thanks again. And everyone, as we kick off February 2011, I think we've got a new foundation to start from, thanks to John and Hubert. So, great call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, guys.